A wedding this Friday night and possibly two babies here in the next 12 hours. Praise God. And it seems like people are doing things in the right order. You know, so that's a good thing. Hallelujah. Give Father all the glory for that. But the Lord's doing some great things in our midst. And, you know, we're just excited to be a part of what the Spirit of God's doing in this hour. And, you know, we were in our last session just talking about the holiness of our God and asking ourselves, are we truly recognizing Him in all of His majesty? We serve an awesome God. Amen. You know, we've heard that word by, you know, for a good while now, a lot of the young people, and you know, this is awesome and that's awesome. God is awesome. Amen. And everything else isn't. He stands alone. Amen. There is nobody like our God. Hallelujah. There is nobody like our God. And so as we talk about the holiness of the Lord, we want to just lift Him up in our hearts. I like what one of the old evangelists years ago, Steve's probably the only one that remembers him, good old Brother Minton. He was a man that when we were just very young taught us, I remember this phrase so well, and it changed my life. And he said, when you study the Word of God, study the words of the Word. Know what the words mean. And how they apply in the context of that particular passage. He also was teaching years ago, and this was probably 30 years ago now, and I remember still what he taught on. And he was teaching on worship and praise. And he said, if we've got a God that's worthy of worship, then let's make our worship worthy of our God. And that needs to become something that, you know, sinks into our spirits and realize how worthy He is. Amen. And what type of a worship is to become, becoming forth out of our lives. The scripture says, out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Praise God. God's alive. He's an awesome God. He is beautiful in His holiness, the scripture says. Let all the earth praise Him. Hallelujah. And so as we look at this, take these glimpses at the greatness of our God, don't look at it from a theological perspective. We're not here to study about God. We're here to encounter God. We're here to encounter Him and to leave tonight different than we came in here. Let God challenge us by His Holy Spirit as to how we relate to Him. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We're going to face Him one of these days. Every one of us in here, even those of us, and this is a problem in the church today. We've taken redemption, we've taken grace, we've taken the understanding of what, you know, the true meaning, and we've spent hours and hours and hours and hours on these subjects. Thank God for the benefits of justification. Amen? The redemption that's in the blood of Jesus Christ, that we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of works. But at the same time, so many in this hour have taken grace and made it something that it's not. Grace does not allow us to live our lives under our own personal lordship. Grace does not allow you to set new standards of holiness based upon your conscience or your opinions or your judgments. This God that we serve is a holy God. And His statement to you and I is this, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen? And so we're going to look at that a little bit tonight and see how worthy God is. Exodus chapter 15, let's turn over there for just a moment. Exodus chapter 15, and in this revelation of God and His majesty. I love these passages here as God is revealing Himself to His people. You know, Moses wanted to see His glory, and God spoke to him and said, you really can't handle looking on Me in My fullness. If you look on Me, the scripture says, you'll die. But what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to put My hand over you, and I'm going to pass by, and I'll let you just see a little bit of the afterglow of My presence. And just a glimpse, listen to me, just a glimpse of the afterglow of God caused Moses' face to shine so that when he came off the mountain, the people said, my God, Moses, put a veil on. We can't even look on your face. Now, I've had people tell me they didn't want to look on my face, but it wasn't for that reason. But it should be. Amen. I have had people tell me, I've had people look at me, and so have some of you, and they just look at you and there's something different about you. You know, many of us have that glory of God emanating from our lives, and even though it may not be visibly perceived, people can feel the presence of God. They know the reality of the glory of God. Amen? The scripture tells us that when God's glory came into the temple at that time of dedication, that it so filled the temple that the priest couldn't even stand to minister. Come, Lord, into this place. Amen? Wouldn't it be great tonight if the Holy Ghost came in here, the Shekinah glory came in here, and every one of us were knocked flat on our faces, dead before the Lord. Praise God. Change. And then go out into our community and onto the job tomorrow, and people look at us and go, there's something different about you. And you can tell them, we've been with Jesus. We've been with Jesus. The scripture said that when those men came to the apostles, they came and they said, sirs, we would see Jesus. But there's another testimony as they encountered the people of God. And it says, and they took note that they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't you want that to be your testimony? I can tell you're different. I can tell by your love. I can tell by your gentleness. I can tell by that spirit that isn't of this world. We're not of this world. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through. Amen? People should know this isn't our home. People should know, not only by our conversation, but by our peace, our rest. Those that get close to us should know by our pursuits, because the scripture says where our treasures in life are, that's where our heart is. People don't know how much we recognize God as being holy and unique and separate and above all that is created by what our treasures are. We saw Sunday morning, and we'll let this be some of the last review. The scripture tells us very clearly that all things that exist were made by Him. Amen. He's unique. That's what holiness means, to be unique, to be separate, to be other than all else that is subordinate. Our God is above all things. All things were made by Him and for Him. Praise God. Amen. In the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Hallelujah. And it was all made by Him. Hallelujah. These things were spoken into existence. He is the Creator. And therefore, none of us creatures have any business asking Him, why have You made me thus? Why am I experiencing this in my life? How come I look like this? How come I don't have all of the benefits that other people have in life? The clay doesn't say to the potter, why hast thou made me thus? The clay says to the potter, you're great and you're mighty. and you're God, and I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price, and I'm alive for your glory, and I'm alive by your glory, for by you all things consist, praise God. And I just want to praise you. I want to praise you for allowing me to be a part of the family. See, many of us get our nose out of joint if we're not the head of the family. If we're not big shots in the family. If we're not above others. This great and mighty and holy God has created you to be the person you are. He's put you here tonight by His sovereign will from before the foundations of the world. Praise God. This night was ordained, and He's coming to visit you tonight and tell you, I've got some changes for your life. But don't panic. You're right where I knew you'd be at this moment in your life. All the struggles, all the trials, don't panic. I got it, man. I knew before you breathed your first breath that we were going to be here tonight. And I'm for you, praise God, and nobody can be against you. We serve an awesome God. You see, this omniscience of God is part of His holiness. We shared Sunday morning when we talked about holy, we're not just talking about moral purity. Holiness is not just moral purity. Holiness is not just cleanness. The word holy means to be separate. It doesn't just mean to withdraw from that exists in separation. It means to be separated by superiority. He lives in another realm, praise God. There is nothing that we can identify with Him in but the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, and our redemption and adoption as sons. But His ways are above our ways. Amen? We can't know His ways. We're redeemed. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. We have the Word of God, and we don't have a clue, man, what God's up to. And then some of us still want Him to answer to us. Amen? God, why is this going on in my life? And how come this? We've talked about it before, you know, and Peter's like, well, hey, what about John? Don't you worry about John. Amen? How many of you know we need to stop worrying about John? We got enough to take care of our own selves. So whatever God's doing in somebody else's life, just thank God for it. Praise God. And know that He's working all things after His own good pleasure. Our God's an awesome God. His name is above every name. Our God is holy and unique. That name is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. That name, Jesus, Yahshua, Savior, praise God, Redeemer. All that He has revealed Himself to be to us, we as His creation, look to Him. We draw our breath because He lives. Our mind functions because He lives. We as His greatest creation, one thing that we take for granted, beloved, we have language because He lives. No other parts of His creation has language. We can converse with our God. We can fellowship with our God. We can articulate the praises of our heart and recognize His glory and His majesty. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Hallelujah. The majesty of our God. And we glimpse Him. We glimpse that afterglow as He goes by. And in that glimpse, who do we see? We see Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Hallelujah. Who is our holy God? He's Jehovah Reah, praise God. He's the Lord, our shepherd, and He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Hallelujah. We're righteous because of His righteousness working in us. Hallelujah. And we could go on and on and look at all of those great seven redemptive names of the Lord. Aren't you thankful tonight for Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace? We just delight in Him. He is El Shaddai, the supreme nurturer, the scripture says. All that we have need of in life, He nurtures us, the great El Shaddai. His attributes, He is infinite. And sometimes as we get discouraged, we forget that. But remind yourself as we look at the holiness of our God, and there is no one else like Him. That infinite God, that eternal God that we serve, He loves you infinitely. It's without measure. It's forever. His love for you is always 100%. Hallelujah. God never withdraws His passion, His compassion for you ever. It never wanes. There's no limit to it. You can't wear out the love of God. At our worst, He loves us the same as at our best. Hallelujah. Because He's a holy God. The immensity of our God, the vastness of our God. The fact that He is beyond all measure as we look at Him in His attributes. We could go on and deal with the different attributes of God. He's omnipresent. Aren't you glad? That's why He can say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There is nowhere you are that He isn't, praise God. He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. Power belongs to God, the scripture says. That's all an expression of His holiness. His uniqueness. He stands apart from His creation. He's above it all. He spoke it into existence. And He also declared that there's a day coming very soon that it's going to be baptized in fire and judgment's going to come upon humanity and upon this earth, praise God. And in that baptism, it will become a new heaven and a new earth, hallelujah. There'll be no more sin there, hallelujah. You'll have no more flesh to contend with, glory to God, amen. The Bible says we're to worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. To worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. Remember, we're not just talking moral purity. We're talking His majesty, His excellence, His lordship. He revealed Himself as the great I Am. Others have said it and heard it over the years, but I know in all of the years coming to that awareness, I am that I am, He told Moses. Who should I say sent me? He asked God, going to encounter Moses. Who should I say sent me? I've got to go in another name that's greater than myself. Tell him I am has sent you. I am. Yes. I am. Whatever you need me to be, praise God. Amen. I am above all the heavens and the earth. I am supreme. You need to understand something. I snap my fingers and Satan shows up. He is a creature. The scripture tells us in Isaiah, it says they're going to look narrowly upon him one day. People are going to see him for what he is one day. Oh, he's powerful. I'm not minimizing his power. He's real. He is the God of this world, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says. But you need to understand something. To those of us that are the redeemed, he is subordinate to the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, he bows, praise God. We've been given that name of Jesus and have all power and all authority over all the power of the enemy, the scripture says. Because God's holy. Because God stands apart sovereign. And works all things after his will. Hallelujah. Your life is not subject to chance. There's not one thing going to happen to you that God does not permit to happen. And he will work it all for your good if you'll be patient and humble yourself before him. What a great God we serve. And he's worthy to be praised when we understand what he's doing, when he's showering us with blessings, and he's worthy to be praised when we don't have a clue what he's doing, and we're suffering, and we think that somehow he's forsaken us. He is God. He changes not. He is immutable, praise God. And his words and promises are sure to 1,000 generations. And he told you he will work all things, praise God, for good to those that love him and keep his commandments. He's an awesome God. He's omnipotent. There's no power that can resist the power of God. And so how is it then that when we serve this awesome God, the insanity, if God is omniscient, how can I think I have a better idea? Amen? But so many of us, we just walk through the day. Word says this, I think I'll do this. You know what's a good idea? Do you understand that we can live our lives by walking every moment in the Holy Ghost? Do you know that the Bible says we can walk in the Spirit and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh? Amen? But we lose sight of the holiness of God. We lose sight of the fact that he's not given us permission to walk other than his omniscient direction and guidance for our lives. Do you see what we're choosing against when we start making decisions separate from the Holy Spirit and from the Word of God? Do you see what happens when we for a moment step back out from under the Lordship of Jesus and reassume control of our lives? And begin to make judgments based upon natural perceptions. Doctors of theology and what they might have to say about a given subject. One of the biggest problems the church has today is everybody getting on the stupid internet, reading a bunch of people's opinions, thinking that somehow they have now become theologians. And Jesus said, how many of you know it's better to listen to what Jesus has to say? Amen. And Jesus said, the Spirit himself will lead you into all truth. Get quiet. Get alone with God. His sheep know His voice, and another they will not follow, praise God. I can tell you one thing, it is not the voice of the Holy Spirit if man's being exalted. It is not the voice of the Holy Spirit if denominations or fellowships are being exalted. The Holy Spirit has been sent of the Father and the Son for the purpose of glorifying the Father and glorifying the Son, praise God. He has not come to speak of Himself, but that He's been sent to speak, and He's to glorify the Lord, amen? If it's the Holy Ghost, Jesus is going to be lifted up. And we act sometimes like it's hard to hear what God's saying. Oh man, I'm praying, I'm having trouble hearing what God's saying. No, you're resisting with your flesh what God's saying. You know what to do, you're just not choosing to walk in it. You're not having trouble hearing. Jesus is speaking and His sheep hear His voice. Amen? Hallelujah. Took away a lot of those excuses, didn't we? I just don't know what the Lord's saying. Yes, you do. Do it. The majesty and the glory and the excellency of our God. You found Exodus 15 yet? This 11th verse of Exodus 15, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness? Oh, and beloved, here's one of the things that we're so missing in the church today. Fearful in praises. Doing wonders among His people. We saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In fact, let's go ahead and turn back over there. This is where we left off on Sunday morning. And as the Spirit of God speaking through the apostle, these powerful, powerful words and standards, if you please, are set forth. And he says in chapter 7, verse 1, he says, having therefore these promises, and we made reference to these promises that are being spoken toward, are those comments that are made in the previous three verses. We might look at them again here in just a second. But he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us, say it, cleanse ourselves from all. Now remember, in the Greek, this word all means all. It's always funny to me how we do that. We're teaching, we'll say, now in the Greek that means, and it does, you know, it can bring different truths and understanding. But all means all. Amen? There's no rendering of all in the Greek that means most. And so we look at this and he said, I want you to know that you're to be cleansed from all filthiness of flesh. And here's what throws a lot of people for a loop. And spirit. Filthiness of flesh and spirit. Watch. Perfecting holiness. Say it with me. In the fear of God. You see, we can never approach and understand and appreciate the holiness of God until we first fear Him. And I don't mean just reverential fear. Many of us that are playing around with grace, turning grace, as the apostle said, into lasciviousness, preaching another gospel that is antinomian? For those of you that might not remember, that just means that it's a gospel that does not embrace the law. You see, too many people today think, well, when you're a Christian and in the New Testament, the law is no longer applicable. That is not true. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it. Amen? Amen. The Spirit of God said through the apostle, the law is good and perfect. Hallelujah. Paul said in Galatians, the law is that schoolmaster that when we get off course, instructs us back and leads us back to Jesus. This law, this word, is profitable for reproof and rebuke and instruction. Amen? That the man of God might be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good. You see, genuine grace expresses itself in good works. Good works do not bring about redemption, but good works are the fruit of redemption, praise God. The Bible's clear. We may not look at it tonight, but the Bible is very clear. We are saved unto good works, praise God. And so the apostle, the Spirit speaking here and says, listen, you need to have the fear of God here. You need to realize, as we quoted earlier, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We're going to stand before Him one of these days. The church has lost sight of the Bema judgment. We've seemed to think that somehow justification has done away with the Bema cleansing and purifying. And it has not. Now, if you read the scriptures, and I'm not going to get off on a study on the judgment seat of Christ tonight, but our redemption, our salvation, our sonship is not being tried. But our works are. Our communion is. In fact, it's that very Bema that's going to judge those who are going to say, didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we heal the sick? We did it in the streets here visibly. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never approved of what you're doing. I think we need to be sober as we approach the holiness of our God. I think we need to realize that whether it's a Moses that glimpsed his hind parts, the priests that could not stand to minister because the glory cloud had appeared, John the Revelator who fell at his feet as dead. This is the same man that physically leaned on his bosom, was called the friend of God, the one whom Jesus loved. And when Jesus glimpsed him in his glory, he just collapsed before him in a heap and could do nothing else but join in with the seraphims and cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, who is to come, praise God. Let the earth be filled with His glory. How do we approach Him in our prayer? We kind of come strolling in, you know, and get there and we're going to get ready for prayer and we got, I'll get me a little bottle of water and, you know, get me some, you know, put my earphones in, play a little worship music and if nothing else, shouldn't we be moved in our hearts by the sacrifice of the spotless Lamb of God that paid for your entrance into the Holy of Holies? Shouldn't there be a fear and a reverence and a love rather than a commonplace approach to the throne of God? Shouldn't our prayer time be reverential and hallowed? Shouldn't the place that we come and fall on our face before God be a place that is sanctified, that we've consecrated for God? Perfecting. That word means, of course, to bring to maturity or completeness. The holiness that God's working in us. And what he's saying is, I can't bring you to perfection. You will not experience this matureness, this completeness that I have to you until you understand that I'm an awesome God. I'm to be feared. First Peter speaks of this. We'll come back to Corinthians here in just a moment, but with the time we have left, I want you to turn over to 1 Peter for just a second and look at a couple of passages here where the Holy Spirit's wanting to sober us up as it pertains to this subject. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he says in verse 13, "Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Look at the usage of the word grace there. It's a very interesting use of that word. He said, I want you to sober up in your minds. I want you to understand something. He's basically, I'll try to condense it in this way. Paul said it in a very clear way for us. You know, this race is not finished yet. Amen? We've not arrived. I mean, the apostle himself said that he was constantly making sure of the personal disciplines of the way he was walking his life out, that he was living his life continuously under the daily lordship of Jesus, that he was walking out and continuing to glorify God in his body and in his spirit, lest having preached to others, he be cast away. Now listen to what the Holy Spirit says. Gird up your loins, the loins of your mind. We read about that over in Romans, don't we? Transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then he goes on and says, look, I want you to bring your minds into a discipline. Understand the commandments that have been placed upon you. Be sober. I think there's a real need of sobriety in the church today. This isn't soberness as opposed to being drunken. A seriousness. Our society today lives in a party spirit. A seriousness. A maturity. Grow up. Assume your responsibility. Amen? We just read about that over in 2 Corinthians 7. Cleansing ourselves. We talked about that Sunday morning. The preacher's not going to cleanse you. The deacons aren't going to cleanse you. Your best friends aren't going to cleanse you. You cleanse yourself from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. Amen. Sober-minded. You assume the responsibility that's been entrusted to you. Much of the doctrine of the church today is, well, God's going to do it all. I'm just going to, you know, I've given my life to Jesus and he's going to come and work out all of these things for me. No, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You discipline yourself. You look unto the author and the finisher of your faith. You spend time apart with God. The Bible says very clearly, He has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Amen? There's nothing more to come. If you're waiting for that secret holiness tablet that you can take this three times a day, you know, we want a holiness tablet and the directions say take three times a day whenever you're in the world. Whenever you're living a little lasciviously, take one of these. Be purified and perfected. What did we just see in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, those three preceding verses? He said, come out from among the world. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Amen? Cleanse yourself. Get out of the world. You make the decision. You tell your friends, I'm no longer the man I used to be. I don't run and play with you guys anymore and party and take drugs and fornicate. I am a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. State your position, praise God. And make it clear that everyone on your job knows exactly who you are as the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Be sober-minded and hope to the end. There's going to be a grace afforded us in that final judgment. That word grace means what? Unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. But God's going to supplement, praise God. His righteousness is your righteousness. He's been made unto us righteousness and peace, praise God. Now watch. We've been talking about that perverted thought process on what grace really is. As obedient children. You see, we think that grace means you don't have to obey anymore. That's not what grace is. Grace is what enables us to obey, praise God. It is the promise of the indwelling Spirit of Christ and the Holy Ghost, the Comforter that lives within us, that causes our sober-mindedness to bring about purity. Look at verse 22 of this first chapter. Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Holy Ghost unto an unfeigned love, praise God. Being born again, verse 23, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by obedience. You see, the word doesn't profit you anything unless you obey it. Reading it doesn't change you. Quoting it doesn't change you. Acknowledging its truth doesn't change you. Obedience changes you. Amen? If you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, you're self-deceived. You think you're a Christian, but you're not. You hold all of the rules and you might delight yourself in the study of the scriptures. But if you love Jesus, obedience to His commandments are not hard. It's not grievous. It's a delight. And as you obey the word of God, look what it does. It purifies your soul. It's what sanctifies you. The power of volition, the need of making right choices. Choose this day who you're going to serve. Amen?
Amen.
Scripture's full of making those choices. When Moses came down off the mountain and the Ten Commandments were cast at the golden calf and it was destroyed and the justice of God manifested. And God, as He always does, gave the people there a choice. Whoever's on the Lord's side, come over here. Amen? Many of us right now are going to have to make those choices. The world's drawing hard on people, man. Do not think for a moment that because you've been serving God faithfully for 20 years that you're immune. In the last days, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You haven't finished this course yet. And we need this sober-mindedness to enter into us. And as obedient children, verse 14, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts. That's 2 Corinthians. Old things have passed away. We've come out from among them. We are a separate people. We are that holy nation. Amen? We're not part of them. We don't laugh at their jokes. We don't pursue their gods. We don't give our children to be married to their children. As we begin to see this call to sanctified living, separate living, it should cause the world to hate you. If you're not being hated yet, something's not right. Everybody shouldn't be liking you. If everybody likes you, you might be a Mormon. They're good folks, man. Mormons are good folks. Jesus said, they're going to hate you because they hated me. And they hated me because they have no more cloak for their sins because I came and lived this word and I lived a pure life in obedience to God. And they hate me because I stand and make it very clear there is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved but the name of Jesus. What wisdom that appointee of Trump used the other day when he was being harassed by Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders had a Bible out and he was reading certain scriptures along the lines of, you know, there's no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved but the name of Jesus. And he's like, well, what about us Jews? And you're telling me this and that, and I won't go through the whole story. The man spoke wisdom almost like Jesus would have done at that time. He responded to him not according to the questions or the specific details asked. He said, do you believe this? And the guy looked at him and said, I told you I was a Christian. And he reads another passage to try to trap him. He said, do you believe this? He said, I told you I was a Christian. And that happened a couple of times. And then finally, Bernie Sanders goes off and says, nobody that believes these kind of things should be in public office and blah, blah, blah. And he gave his... Well, it seems to me that Bernie Sanders took an oath when he went into Congress that said he would defend the Constitution of the United States. And I believe the First Amendment is still in place. And for him to stand and say no man has a right to serve when the Constitution says he does, you ought to get out, Jack. And that political statement was paid for by... The world's supposed to hate us. We're not part of them. Don't just blow this thing off. If we deny him before men, he will deny us before the Father. There's a standard to be lived. He goes on and says what the standard is here. As obedient children, refusing to live under the bondage of your former lusts, your desire to be great and famous and rich. I can't remember which one of the great preachers it was that said all of the great trials and problems that he had in his life came from seeing himself to be greater than what he was. A statement on humility, a statement on recognizing the glory of God, the wisdom of God, of placing us and blessing us and guiding us as it pleases him. Your former lusts have to be put away. And then he goes on and makes this comment, and we'll end with this for tonight. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in every manner of your life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen?
Amen.
Standard set. Nobody can change it. This is the lifestyle that you and I have been called to. And we don't try to walk this life out so that we can receive the blessings of God. We live this life because God is worthy. Amen. Father, we come tonight and we just thank you for your word and for your presence in our lives. Lord, we don't need more teaching. We need more obedience. We need to set out about your business and realize who we are as that chosen generation. Those who have been called to show forth your praises. You who have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We who were no people, but now we are the people of God. Hallelujah. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Lord, you've called us as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Now cause us to walk in that holiness, in that separation, that men would see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's our heart's desire, Father. Be glorified in me. be glorified in my obedience. Be glorified in my humility as you allow me to serve in the body. Be glorified when I love the brethren with an unfeigned love, when I prefer others above myself. Father, let your holiness be perfected in us in the fear of God, and we'll give you all the praise and all of the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, be holy because he's holy. Praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.